Welcome to the first episode of Season 2 of the Rangers Wrap-Up Podcast. My name is Taylor Phillips. Welcome, everybody. Baseball season is back. We are rolling along. We are almost at the tail end of spring training. Actually, as of this recording, I'm recording this here on Tuesday night. Tomorrow morning on ESPN, the A's and the Mariners are in action. The first regular season game over in Japan. There's also some other news in baseball that was breaking today. Mike Trout can pretty much buy his own planet at this point, and we'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. But again, I want to welcome you into the Rangers Wrap-Up Podcast. My name is Taylor Phillips. This is the second year I've been doing this. So last year, the trial run of the Rangers Wrap-Up Podcast, the way the show was set up was I would go game by game at the end of the week and just recapping everything that happened, the highlights. I'd play some play-by-play cuts from Fox Sports Southwest, and we would go game by game. Well, the thing is with that, and especially in a sport like baseball, not every game really deserves to be talked about every single time. And as we'll get into in a little bit with this Rangers team, they're not exactly the most exciting bunch being put together right now. So the plan is for the podcast this year, if you were someone who listened last year and are wondering about the changes coming into season two, the plan is to do the podcast every other week, but make the podcast longer. And with the intention being, we can talk more about the Rangers in depth as opposed to just game by game samples. Because in a sport like baseball, you know, it's one of those things where the game can change quickly, where a pitcher can get lit up on Sunday, go out in his next start on Friday, and have a 7-inning shutout, and the narrative changes there. So the plan is to do the podcast every 2 weeks. Going to have a lot more to talk about, both from a Rangers standpoint and from a Major League Baseball standpoint collectively, hitting more of the national stories. And also the plan this year is to bring in more guests on the show. And a large part of that's going to be bringing in my coworkers here at 103.3 FM ESPN, who have already agreed to hop on and get their thoughts on the Rangers and baseball in general. Because we don't always talk about baseball up here because we live in such a Cowboys and Mavericks dominated market. But there are a lot of baseball fans up here in the studio, and they all want to talk baseball. Of course, you have Rangers Insider and Rangers Postgame with Mike Peasley. You should listen to every night during baseball season. But DJ Ringenberg is also somebody who's a big baseball fan. So we plan on having DJ Ringenberg on the podcast very early on in the season, as well as Chris Gross, who does his own podcast for KESN1033.com called Can I Get a Podcast with Jeffrey Cooperstein. We're going to have Chris on as well for some Rangers news and notes from him. So that's a little bit about the way the season is going to go for this podcast. It's still going to be quite the same as far as the topics we talk about. We're trying to hit on the highlights. We're trying to play some audio for you of some players. We're going to try to find some interesting notes from around baseball for our most interesting segment, just like last year. But the plan is to make it a little more of a macro podcast than a micro podcast going game by game. Without further ado, let's get into the Rangers. So quite a different offseason for the Rangers. And I think the first place we should start would be at manager. And Chris Woodward is now the new manager of the Texas Rangers. Jeff Banister was let go in the last couple weeks of the season, and a lot of rumors were going around in October of where the Rangers would go, and a lot of it was going with the idea that you need to have someone who can communicate well with younger players, who's more in tune with the modern millennial player, if you want to call it that, and also someone who could speak Spanish, because that was one thing that has been really prevalent in the game of late. And the Rangers decided to go with Chris Woodward, who has spent the last couple seasons out with the Dodgers as a third base coach. And the Dodgers, of course, going on back-to-back World Series appearances. Obviously, when you're around a franchise like that, with a lot of great voices in that clubhouse, the Rangers saw something in Chris Woodward and thought, you know what? They have a winning culture out in L.A. Let's see what Chris Woodward can bring here to Texas. And that meant the end of the line for Jeff Banister. And some of the, I guess you would call it, comments coming out from the clubhouse and among beat writers who cover the team, as a lot of it was Jeff Banister's style didn't really fit with the way the Rangers were going. And it's maybe more of a younger player thing and just how it was going, because Banister was more of the football type, tough mentality manager who had a lot of sayings and slogans, and never, ever quit. Slogan was big a few years ago. And they felt like they needed to go a different direction from that because it sounded like some of the players weren't really responding to it anymore. You had a lot of new faces in that Rangers locker room near the end of the year, and a lot of young faces, a lot of young players in their early 20s. And so they decided to go with Chris Woodward, who is somebody who in his press conference when he joined the team, and I was there covering it here for 103.3 FM ESPN, so I got to see these answers in person. And one of the things he talked about was being more of a positive manager and how he wanted to impact the culture in his first year in Texas.
You know, philosophy is kind of a staple to me. I'm always positive. I'm always trying to push this thing forward. You know, not a lack of work. I don't want to, when you talk about being kind or being caring, it doesn't mean we're weak, obviously, as a leader. I believe in a lot of things of strong leadership, and getting these kids to buy into that, I think, is the most important. Building relationships with these players is critical. I think that's what I believe in the strongest, is just getting to know these guys on a personal level and having them understand that, you know, we care. As a staff, my staff and I are going to, you know, give everything we have to these boys and just, you know, make them into men, turn them into men, and create a culture here where they can flourish, where they can learn and grow every single day. And I think that's going to be what we place the most value on moving forward.
Because building up these players and putting together that culture of winning and really just growth. I mean, I think if you're a Ranger fan, you're not expecting, especially with the moves that we'll touch on here in a second, for this team to compete for much in 2019. They ended 2018 67-95 and just really one of the worst teams in baseball. And I think they made it known early with Chris Woodward, and he's trying to make it known to his players, look, it's about growth. Obviously, you want to see production. You want to see your team compete every single year. But there's a lot of guys who have a lot of question marks on this roster, all up and down. And Chris Woodward knows it's just about building the right culture, because it was one kind of culture under Ron Washington. It was a different kind of culture under Jeff Banister. Now Chris Woodward's trying to make his own mark. And look, it's going to be something that's going to take a little bit of time. And no one's expecting this team to go out and win the AL West in 2019. They're just a team that you're hoping competes and makes it an exciting season with whatever pieces they have. So that's one new voice in the locker room for the Rangers. They lost a big voice a couple weeks later in November, where Adrian Beltre announced his retirement. And that was one that was pretty tough to swallow for a lot of baseball fans, because it was just so much fun to watch play this game. And really, he goes down as one of the greatest Rangers of all time. So the question becomes, one, who replaces him as a leader, as well as who's going to replace him at third base. So that takes us to our transition of the leadership role. And that goes to Elvis Andrus, who was Beltre's guy. He was somebody who has been around on this team a long time. We've seen him grow from a young player into the veteran he is. He's decided to stick around and opt in with the Rangers. So now it becomes his team, and it becomes the player that really becomes the face of the franchise now that Beltre is gone. And as far as third base, now you have Asdrubal Cabrera there, which is a good veteran pickup. He's somebody whose defense has declined as far as an up-the-middle position, but we'll see what he can put together at third base. But he still has some pop in his bat. And it's granted, it's going to be quite an impossible task for him to replace someone like Beltre in this team and in this market and with the fans, because Beltre was just so beloved. It's going to be really hard for Ranger fans, and it will be hard for me as well when you're watching this team and you're not seeing any Beltre antics out there. You're not seeing him and Elvis mess around on pop-ups, or him, you know, with the touching the head and watching him freak out. And I was at his press conference after his 3,000th hit, where he's doing the Marshawn Lynch, I'm just here so I don't get fined. And it was really fun to see how he was on a day-to-day basis, especially with some Ranger teams that weren't as much fun to watch. But you just kind of saw last year with Beltre that the injuries were starting to pile up, and it was really a grind for him to go out there. But he's definitely on his way to Cooperstown. There's no disputing that. Adrian Beltre is a surefire Hall of Famer. But Asdrubal Cabrera, now the new face at third base. Elvis Andrus still locked in there at short. Rougned Odor at second, and Ronald Guzman at first. But another name that's not there, who was really factoring hard into the plans for the Rangers for the longest time. We kept hearing about this guy. When's he going to come take over at shortstop or second base, third base, wherever? We just thought at some point we were going to see Jurickson Profar on a regular basis in the starting lineup, and we never did. And they never really found a solid spot to put him at, and then they decided to trade him over the winter. Jurickson Profar now at the rival Oakland A's, still staying in the American League West. And in that trade, the Rangers got back infielder Eli White and pitchers Brock Burke, Kyle Bird, Yoel Espinal, and $750,000 in international bonus money. So Jurickson Profar is out of the picture now. The Rangers were able to build up their farm system a little bit with these moves, with that move. And I feel like Jurickson Profar is going to be one of those guys that a new change of pace and a new scenery out there in Oakland, a team that won over 90 games last year and made it to the playoffs. I'm curious to see how Jurickson Profar factors in with them. So obviously that ends the Jurickson Profar era with the Rangers, but building up the farm system in the process. And again, you're listening to the Rangers Wrap-Up Podcast here on KESN1033.com. I'm Taylor Phillips. So let's transition to the starting rotation for the Rangers, who made a couple moves in the offseason, bringing in some new names, but who've been around the sport for a while. And I want to start with Lance Lynn, who is a pretty much career National League pitcher, who spent a ton of time with the Cardinals, World Series champion with them. But he spent last year in the American League, started out with the Twins, and was eventually dealt to the Yankees. And he had some better numbers there with the Yankees in the second half of the season than he did in Minnesota. But he becomes your number two, slated behind Mike Minor. And they signed Lynn in the offseason to a new contract. And that contract was for 3 years and $30 million. So Lance Lynn becomes your number two. Then that brings in Drew Smyly, who hasn't pitched in the majors in a couple seasons, as your number three as of today. Edison Volquez and Shelby Miller rounding out that starting five. So what does this rotation mean? You have Mike Minor going into his second year as a starter, returning to as a starter because he had his arm issues. He worked out of the bullpen in Kansas City. Had a pretty good year for the Rangers last year. He had him and Cole Hamels there at the top of your rotation. But it's a lot of question marks after him. Lance Lynn is a steady veteran. You know he's going to give you some innings, and you know what to expect from him. Drew Smyly coming back from injury? Who knows? It was kind of like Doug Fister last year, where you were hoping to get something out of him, and it just kind of didn't work out, and Doug Fister ended up having some injury issues last year as well. Edison Volquez missed time last year. Still had some pop in his fastball, according to reports there at spring training, but again, aging veteran, not exactly somebody you're looking at as far as your future plans, so another stopgap move there. And Shelby Miller, who, again, former Cardinal, is from the state of Texas. He's somebody who was really highly regarded about 7 years ago or so, 6 years ago. And then since then, he's really bounced around. He was dealt from the Cardinals to the Braves and then from the Braves to the Diamondbacks in that much laughed-at trade that involved Ender Inciarte and Dansby Swanson going back to Atlanta and Atlanta making the postseason last year. Those two guys were a key cog in that. And you got Shelby Miller is kind of like the, well, what now in Arizona? This trade didn't work at all. So his tenure with the Diamondbacks comes to an end, and he signs with the Rangers. Again, coming off some injuries last year, didn't do a whole lot in 2018. The Rangers are just hoping you get something out of him, hoping for a little bit of a reclamation project there, hoping he gives you the innings you need. So starting rotation, not exactly one that's going to catch your radar if you're a fan of watching baseball and you're looking at it from a national standpoint. This ranks pretty low as far as the excitement factor, but we'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes. And then we'll transition there from the starting rotation to the relief pitching, where Jose LeClerc was able to get paid this offseason. He managed to get signed to a four-year, $14.75 million extension. And Jose LeClerc was somebody at the end of last year. He was one of the more dominant relief pitchers in baseball. He took over for Keone Kella after that trade with Pittsburgh at the deadline. He was having a pretty good year in his own regard. And, you know, Jose LeClerc takes over, has a great second half of the season, and his numbers there at the end of the year, when you look at the complete numbers for 2018, you know, he ended up finishing with an ERA of 1.56. He managed to strike out 85 in 57 and two-thirds innings. He put up 12 saves, which for a Rangers team that didn't win many games last year is pretty impressive. He was a solid rock in that bullpen that really just turned up being a lot of people that you didn't see much of a future with the team, and they traded Jake Diekman at the deadline to Arizona. So Jose LeClerc became your guy. He became your lockdown closer for the future, apparently, because they signed him this extension, and I'm all for it. Young guy, not much of a price tag on him now. If he keeps this up, good for Jose LeClerc. The Rangers have a closer. Problem is, hopefully you can get to the closer with this team and have many save opportunities for him. So, Jose Leclerc rounding off the bullpen, and then that brings in some other guys. Jesse Chavez, re-signed him, traded him to the Cubs last year. He's back. There's a veteran arm back there. A lot of right-handed pitchers rounding out this Rangers relief corps, and Jeffrey Springs being, as of right now, your left-hander. They bring in Sean Kelly. You have Chris Martin coming back. Zach McAllister, they bring him in. Connor Sadzik. You know, there's some arms there with some veterans. Jesse Chavez, Sean Kelly, some veteran relief pitchers. I think Sean Kelly was a sneaky good signing by the Rangers. I think he's somebody who's going to be a really good addition to this bullpen. So that's the relief side of things for the Rangers. And then you look at the outfield for Texas. You have Joey Gallo. You have Nomar Mazara. You have Delino DeShields. And you have Shin-Soo Choo there as designated hitter. So as I'm recording this here on March 19th, Joey Gallo is being looked at for a quad injury, and his status for opening day is kind of up in the air. So that's one blow to their lineup already. And then for Joey Gallo, the question becomes, okay, we hear it all the time. Gallo strikes out a lot. He's a home run or nothing guy. What more can the Rangers expect from him? Well, I would say to you, he had a good year last year. The average wasn't there necessarily what you would want to see from somebody. But in the modern game, it's a little more normal. He hit 206. Now, 206 isn't good by many stretches, but he still had 40 home runs, still had 92 RBIs. His OPS was down from 869 in 2017 to 810 last season. But the strikeout numbers are still an issue that went up last year. It went from 196 to 207. So with Joey Gallo, it's a matter of cutting down those strikeouts. Again, you hear it every single year. But one thing I think people sleep on with him is his defensive skills. He's a pretty good center fielder when you look at the numbers. He's a solid outfielder, and it's somebody who's a third baseman coming up. So with Joey Gallo, from his defensive side of things, it gets better. Joey Gallo is that highlight reel hitter you're looking for every night just to lay into one and put it into the right field home run porch. But again, that average needs to go up. And then the other outfield spot you're looking at is Nomar Mazara, the corner outfield spot, where going into last season, the question was, is he going to hit left-handed pitching any better than 2017? Because he was a 228 hitter against lefties two seasons ago. He improved to 240. And really, for Nomar Mazara, everything across the board went up. His batting average went up. His OPS went up. He hit 20 home runs for the second consecutive season. The only thing that went down was the RBIs, but again, you can't really control that a lot of the time because you need guys on base for that. But the thing with Nomar Mazara that caught my eye is the strikeout numbers went down. He had 116 strikeouts compared to 127 the year before. So some improvement in that regard. I think with him, that we were so conditioned hearing about him as a prospect and when he was first called up, was Mazara was supposed to be that game breaker. He was supposed to be that prospect who's going to turn into a superstar. And he's been good, but he hasn't crossed into superstar yet. So I think with Nomar Mazara, it's just crossing that threshold for a team where there's not going to be a lot of pressure for a win standpoint. It's all about growth. We heard Chris Woodward earlier in the show talking about how this team needs to grow, and it's about building a winning mentality. And I'm not saying Nomar Mazara doesn't want to win. I assume he does. I've been in that locker room. He's a competitor. And that doesn't mean he needs to turn into Mike Trout overnight and win the MVP in 2019. But build up on that a little more. Cut down those strikeout numbers a little more. That average can go up a little more. And the defensive side of things, defensive numbers can go up as well. And he's worked on that. There's been stories written about Mazara and his outfield work that he's worked on it hard this spring. And I think having some new voices in there might help. But again, that's a young player who is now a couple seasons into his career. How much of it's going to start finding itself now in this stage of Mazara's career? So that's another question mark. It's a team with a lot of question marks with the Rangers. So what does all this mean for the Rangers in terms of their win total? So right now, according to Bovada out in Las Vegas, they have the Rangers penciled in at 71 wins for their over-under. 71 wins compared to a team that last year had 67 wins. 71 wins would be a bit of an improvement. Now the question becomes, the over-under, which side do you choose? A lot of people think this team's going to compete more than what people are saying. 71 wins to me, I think I'm going to go under. I'm not going to go much under. To me, 67 wins like last year, I'm kind of going to go around that same number. I think I'll go one lower and go 66. I don't think this is a team that's going to compete for much. I think it's going to be a team that a lot of question marks as far as their future will start to solve itself. Will Rougned Odor piece together a full season, both with the glove and with the bat? Will Joey Gallo show his improvement with the swing and misses? Will Nomar Mazara take that next step, growing towards what his hype has been built around him? Jose Leclerc, a full season as the closer. We've seen a lot of closers have success one year, and then all of a sudden they lose their job the next year. Neftali Feliz, Sean Tolleson, Sam Dyson, it happens here. So can Jose Leclerc, after getting this new deal, have a full season of some lockdown closing? It's a lot to worry about with the Rangers. That puts a wrap on the Rangers preview side of things. And for those listeners to the podcast, they would know I would transition to the most interesting sound effect with Chris Gross doing the Dos Equis guy voice with the Dos Equis music. Unfortunately, all my elements were deleted in an audio dump here at the station. Every now and then at the here at 103.3 FM ESPN, they go through some of the old audio that's not being used and they delete it to clear room for new stuff because computers can only hold so much memory, you know? My most interesting sounder is gone, so I'll just go ahead and do it myself. The do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. It's kind of the Dos Equis song, and Chris Gross would come on and say, it's time for the most interesting thing in baseball. So I'll transition awkwardly from that awful imaging on my part to the news of the day here on the Rangers Wrap-Up Podcast. I'm Taylor Phillips. Mike Trout will be hanging around Anaheim a lot longer, as Jeff Passan of ESPN reported that Trout has signed a 12-year deal worth more than $430 million. I'll say it again, $430 million sticking around out there in Anaheim. So that comes out to about $36 million a year. And we saw an offseason, well, granted, it took a long time for Manny Machado and Bryce Harper to sign, which made the offseason MLB talk kind of a grind, because once a lot of the winter meetings stuff happened and you moved on into January, February, it just became a nonstop carousel of, where's Manny Machado going to sign? Where's Bryce Harper going to sign? I think he might go back to Washington. I think he's going to go to Philadelphia. Manny Machado is going to probably go to Philadelphia. I don't know where he's going to go. Well, we got our answer with Machado. He goes to the Padres, and Bryce Harper signs with Philadelphia Phillies for $330 million. That was the greatest contract in terms of money in North American sports. Mike Trout just said, you know what, I'm going to dunk on that and get $430 million. $100 million more than Bryce Harper, and that does count his last 2 years on his extension he signed a couple years back. So with Mike Trout, the question for everybody as soon as that news broke was this deal worth it? Is any player in any sport in the history of time worth $430 million? Well, Jeff Passan joined the Stephen A. Smith Show, which you can hear every weekday here on 103.3 FM from 1 to 3. Jeff Passan went on and talked about if this Trout signing was worth it.
It's just a matter of production. And look, we can nerd out a little here and talk about wins above replacement. And it's a new stat, and it's a stat that tries to quantify exactly how productive a particular player has been. Mm-hmm. And through his age 26 season, Mike Trout has piled up more wins above replacement than any player in the history of baseball, more than Babe Ruth, more than Ty Cobb, more than Mickey Mantle, more than anybody. And because of that, and because they wanted to keep him in their uniform for the remainder of his career, the Los Angeles Angels understood that in order to get Mike Trout not to hit free agency after the 2020 season, they needed to step up financially. And that's exactly what they did. They tacked on 10 years to his current deal. It's going to be about $365 million or so in new money. And you know what? For a guy who produces like Mike Trout does, $365 for 10 years is not bad.
It's not bad. It really isn't. I felt like when I saw this deal Mike Trout signed, I thought he could have got a lot more. I thought he'd be somewhere pushing the $475 million, because when you quantify WAR and what it means per year, Mike Trout is leaps and bounds over everybody else, including Bryce Harper and Manny Machado. And I won't bore you with all the sabermetric numbers when it comes to Mike Trout, but since he entered the league, he's always in the MVP candidate. He's one of the best defenders. He's one of the best hitters. He can do it. He can steal. Mike Trout does it all. Unfortunately for Ranger fans, he's in the same division as Texas, so you see Mike Trout a lot here in Arlington. But the question becomes for the Angels, what are they going to do to build around him? The Angels still have some pitching issues they got to work on. They have a farm system that's up and coming. I believe Keith Law of ESPN has them at number 7. But the Angels still have some moves to be made. Obviously, you're tying up a lot of money into one guy, but they have a new TV deal. They're in a market like LA that can generate excitement if the team can win, which generates more revenue, of course. Winning teams will bring in more money. But the Angels are a team that has barely sniffed the postseason in Trout's tenure. They had that one playoff appearance in 2014 where they were swept by the Kansas City Royals. So America hasn't been able to watch Mike Trout in October. It's just been a lot of these really good regular seasons. And if the Angels are faltering out of the race in August, Mike Trout doesn't really grab the headlines. And plus, he's not really a personality that people look at in terms of what you expect from a superstar. He's not out there on social media. He's not somebody who is giving hot takes or explosive quotes in post game. He's a pretty vanilla guy, and he intends to stay that way. But for Mike Trout, you know, now it's there's really not much more you can prove from a playing standpoint. I don't know if anybody's able to live up to a $430 million deal. We always hear players get ripped for not reaching their giant contracts over the course of it where it's worth it. And over 12 years for Mike Trout for that kind of money, I don't know. It might be an impossible thing for anybody to cross and make it worth it. But if there's anybody in baseball who is worth taking that gamble on, it's obviously Mike Trout. It just becomes now, what are the Angels going to do to build around him? So we'll see what happens with the Angels and Mike Trout. Thank you for listening to episode 1 of season 2 of the Rangers Wrap-Up Podcast. This was more of a preview episode this week. I'm going to come in here next week and record one more episode before opening day where I'm going to hit a little more on the Rangers, kind of as the roster is officially set. We're going to be the night before opening day talking about that game and that series against the Cubs. And I'll do a little more of a breakdown of every single team around baseball. Who do I like in the playoffs? Who's my World Series champion? MVP picks, Cy Young Award predictions, Rookie of the Years. I'll touch on all of that in episode 2. But again, thank you for listening to episode 1. If you want to hear any of the latest episodes, or if you feel inclined to go back and listen to some 2018 episodes, they're all still there too. Go to KESN1033.com. We have a great new podcast page set up there. Thank you for listening, and see you next time.